Oh, rest your hope on him. Aren't you glad that we don't have to rest our hope on our circumstances? Woo, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble, wouldn't we? My goodness, I know my house, we'd be in a whole heap of trouble. We don't rest our eyes on our circumstances. We fix our eyes on Jesus.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. I invite you right now to take your Bible and join me in the great book of Psalms, chapter 94, looking at verse 19, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Our Anxieties Are Crushed by God's Comforts.
Father, as I yield myself to you, open my heart. Open the hearts of the people. God, open my mind. Open the minds of the people. And God, we will be quick. We will insist to give praise to one and one only, the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And so God, to you be the praise, to you be the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's kids shouted.
Amen.
Amen. Take that Bible, go to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, looking at just one verse today that I pray will greatly encourage you. I pray it will strengthen you. I pray that you will leave here today with a skip in the step and a song in your heart as we fix our eyes upon Jesus. That skip in our step. That song in our heart. I was thinking about the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Not my hand, not your hand, not my plans, not your plans. Not our creativity, not our talents, not our abilities. Everything we have is from God's. Everything. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Well, you sing that in the valleys of life. You sing that when your back's against the wall. You sing that when you're back against the rope, so to speak. You sing that when the losses keep piling up, one after another. And you sing from the heart, the wellspring of the heart. Oh, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto Thee. You talk about a message and a billboard that will preach 1,000 sermons to your neighbors, co-workers, family members, and friends. It's easy to go God's way when He's going your way. But when God's not going your way, and you still say, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. See, that's when God works. That's when God does the work that only He can do. And please remember this. I know you're in a dark area of town, but remember this true point that the light doesn't shine the brightest where it's the brightest. It always shines the brightest where it's the darkest. Amen. Don't lose heart. Don't bend. Don't buckle. Don't break. Stand tall for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's why in this one short verse, I pray you have a Bible or a device. You guys do use Bibles here? Okay, praise Jesus. Okay, just checking. A device with a Bible on it. Perhaps if you have a notepad, something to write with, we're going to give you several supporting scriptures. The best commentary on scripture is scripture itself. And so we're going to give you a lot of scriptures today to feast on this week. Psalm 94, verse 19. My translation reads as this. Listen closely to the psalmist. Just marinate on this. Part one, in the multitude of my anxieties. Think on that for a moment. Part two, your, capital Y, comforts. Part three, delight my soul. Think about that, church family, that in the multitude of my anxieties, your comforts, O God, delight my soul. That in the midst of your valleys, in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst where things are just not simply working out, in the midst of the whys of life, God, I've been faithful, I've been obedient, I've tried to raise up children, I've tried to have a godly marriage, I've tried to be a light in the workplace, I've tried, and oh God, where are you in the midst of my pain? Ever been there? Where are you? Like, God, why would you allow this to happen to me? Like, God, I get up every Sunday morning, and I get in my car, and I drive to the church house. And that lousy neighbor of mine is sleeping in. He's talking to Pastor Pillow at Bedside Baptist. Why is it, God, that I'm faithful? That I'm in the fight? That I'm doing your work and I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable to you? And why is it, God, that you repay me with this? What kind of God are you? That you repay me, my faithfulness, with suffering. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul says, will suffer persecution. These momentary light afflictions are working out an eternal way to glory. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. In the original language, they will not pass the test to the glory which shall be revealed. Amen. In the multitude of your anxieties today, the only answer for your suffering is that it's God's comforts will delight your soul. Amen. See, that's why the title of the message today is simply this: our anxieties are crushed by God's comforts. Now think about that for a moment. My anxieties, your anxieties today, can only be crushed, exterminated, eradicated by one thing. It's not the corner office. It's not finding a different spouse. It's not having a certain number of children or living in a certain gated community or driving a certain car. The only thing that will crush your anxieties are the comforts of God. Amen. That's where sustaining peace and joy and contentment, everything else is a facade. Everything else. Everything else is a hamster wheel going nowhere. Everything else is a cul-de-sac going nowhere. Everything else. You can try it and you can try it and you can try it. But the reality is you end up nowhere. Amen. It's God's comforts, church family, that will delight your soul, that your soul will begin to sing for joy. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The psalmist writes here in this first part, as we just break it down, these three parts. And just to give you kind of an introduction to the context, we see here the appeal to God for help against enemies. You guys ever pray those imprecatory prayers against those neighbors? God, we want them to be saved, but if you're not going to save them, strike them dead. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. You're in church. Don't lie. Don't lie. You know what I'm talking about, right? Don't judge me. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Here the psalmist is. He's praying, and he's needing help. And you kind of think of that Jeremiah 12, where, why do the wicked prosper? Why? Going back to my illustration earlier of the neighbor at Bedside Baptist, Pastor Pillow, and there you are, faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful, and God keeps allowing more suffering and suffering into your life. Do you know this church family, that those the Lord loves, He chastens?
Amen.
You're a legitimate son and daughter. Not illegitimate. Why do the wicked prosper? Because they're illegitimate sons and daughters. Heaven's not here on earth. Heaven's in the next life with Jesus, our King.
Amen.
Too many of us inside the church house think heaven's here. Oh no, man, this is work here. We're toiling. Man, we're pressing on in the battle. We are soldiering on. Man, we got our eyes fixed on Jesus, missile locked on Jesus. Oh, for the joy who was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And what's the promise from that? He now sits at the right hand of the Father. What's going to happen in your life when you live an obedient life in the midst of your pain? There are going to be great rewards to be reaped. He says in the multitude, that part one, in the multitude of my anxieties. Multitude means this, the bunch. That's kind of the Message translation, amen? You guys know the Message Bible? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Oh, look, there's a perforated tear-off oil change coupon right in the middle of my Bible. Amen? That's the Message translation, right? You know? Flip it a few pages over. Hey, recipe for brownies. Praise God. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you look at this here and hear the psalmist is saying there's a bunch of them. I mean, he literally in the Hebrew is saying an abundance. He's saying there's greatness. There's vastness. I want to try to paint that picture this morning that here's the psalmist. He's crying out to God and he's saying, look, in the multitude, there's many. And for you today that are here, I bet I could ask you if we had time, what's going on in your world? What's going on in your life? What are your struggles? What's the heartache? What's the pain? And you probably have a multitude of issues.
Amen.
The psalmist was no different. Some self-inflicted, as we know, just like us. But sometimes not. See, sometimes we gauge if you're in God's will by what's actually happening to you positively. Man, you need to get off that train. Like, that's a train going over a cliff. That's the American dream. That's the American church train right there. Well, I mean, if things are going well, you must be in God's will. Really? Have you read the Bible lately? Like, have you read the Bible? Literally from table of contents of the book of maps. And I mean everything in between. There is suffering all throughout for those who ran hard after the glory of God. Period. That's what you've signed up for. In the multitude, it's how this thing works. Some people look at your pastor, look at me, another pastor, and they go, man, that must be pretty cool to work 1 hour a week. You work 1 hour a week, you float around on a cloud with a harp, eating bonbons, singing Kumbaya. That's what you do, John. Yeah, really. You know what my world's like? I'll tell you what my world's like. Satan's got a bullseye on my back. And there's some dark nights of the soul. There's a lot of tears on the pillow. If I would have quit the number of times I really wanted to quit, I would have quit 1,000 times ago, literally. And that's probably underestimating. It's hard. It's hard. But we don't give up. We don't give up. We're steadfast. We're immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing confidently the labor for Him is never in vain. Like, it's impossible to work towards the glory of God and have that labor in vain. Impossible. You say, how do you know? The Bible says so. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Our greatest anxieties. The multitude of what anxieties? What are those? Disquieting thoughts. Ever have those? Anxious cares. Why are you cast down, O my soul? hope in the Lord. I would have lost heart in the land of the living if I did not believe in the goodness of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
I believe the greatest days are yet to come for this church.
Amen.
If every person in the church house today had one amen in you, that was the time you should have slipped her in right there. I believe that the greatest days are yet to come for this church.
Amen.
And the multitude, the abundance, the greatness of my disquieting thoughts, my anxious cares. Don't miss this. Within who? Not a trick question. Within me. Don't miss this. Key number one. Our greatest anxieties are typically not from the outside, but are actually on the inside.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Our greatest anxieties, these disquieting thoughts, these anxious cares, are typically not from the outside. They're typically from the inside. We call it the battlefield of the mind. Pastor alluded to it earlier when he said, our minds deceive us. And the enemy knows, he knows where to go. The enemy knows. Yes, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who could know it? Yes, we admit to that. We agree to that. It's the word of God. But the enemy, he attacks through our minds. It's the hard drive. It's the control center. He plants a seed. He says, you know what? I'll get them here. I don't need to get them looking all the way away from Jesus, just enough away from Jesus. If I could just get them looking at the waves of their life, if I can get them focused mentally in the mind on what's going on around them. Oh, Satan says, I believe they'll bend. I believe they'll buckle. I believe they'll break. Have you ever noticed this? That the more that we think about a problem, typically, the larger in our minds the problem becomes. Have you noticed this? That the more you think about a problem in the circus between your ears, the more you think about it and try to micromanage it, the more that you do that, typically, the larger the problem becomes.
Amen.
See, the battlefield is between our ears. It's our mind. Satan is after our minds. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He is not your friend. He's not your buddy. He's not some little guy in a red suit with funny eyebrows, a goatee, funny ears, and a pitchfork. That's not Satan. The Bible says this, he masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light. Think about that. The Bible says, not me, not pastor, the Bible says that Satan masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light. You think he's good. See, that's why we must be renewed by the transforming of our minds. Because if I'm constantly having garbage in, what is the result? Garbage out. I mean, think about that. If you and I are constantly taking in a bunch of garbage, what's the byproduct? Garbage out. We're going to be feasting on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will set you free. It's the Word of God that will transform your home. It's the Word of God that will transform your church. It's the Word of God that will bring revival to your life, to your community. It's the Word of God that will set the captives free in your family. It's the Word of God that will do the work that only it can do. Because God says this, my Word is like a fire. My Word is like a hammer. It will break the rock into pieces.
Yeah.
grass withers. And it does. And the flower fades. And it does. But the word of my God will stand forever. Paul said that I'm in chains for this cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the word of God is not chained.
That's right.
The word of God is power, and it's power in your life today. You say, I don't know how to get out of the mess I'm in. Go to the word of God.
Amen.
Humble yourself. Be broken. Be intentional. Be urgent. Be desperate. Get on your face. Repent. Satan's goal is to keep us focused on the problem in our minds and not to be focused on the solution, which is the blood of Jesus. Write these supporting verses down. Romans 12, 1 through 2, I alluded to it earlier, but let me read it. Romans 12, 1 through 2, and I'll just read these for sake of time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living one. Here we go. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2. You guys probably have this embroidered on a pillow at home. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. Think about that. Be transformed. Don't be conformed to the world. The world is out there. The world is waiting. I tell people all the time when I speak to students, that, especially to their parents, I say, look, you got to understand this, parents. The MTV generation is waiting with bated breath to lead your kids off a cliff. Like, they want to indoctrinate your children and feed them a bunch of nonsense from a humanistic, secular worldview. If you're not feeding them with the word of God, start doing it today.
Amen.
Don't delay. It's the word. Colossians 3, one of my favorite three verses, 1 through 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Here's verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. You see the mind again? Here we go, mind. Be renewed by the mind, Romans 12. Colossians 3, set your gaze, set your mind. Not gimmicks, not games. What you get them with, you got to keep them with. You get them with the word. Man, their hearts will be transformed forever. Yeah, it's slow going. I get this. You're plowing concrete sometimes. Got the t-shirt. I don't want to stand in front of Jesus on that day of reckoning at the Bema seat. And he looks at me and goes, why weren't you faithful to my word? Why did you think that you had to entertain people to get them to the cross of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I'm not holding that bag. Now, we drove a stake in the ground like your pastor has. No, it's just the word of God, the faithful declaration, the faithful proclamation of the word of God. And when it goes forth with power.
Amen.
One man said it like this, that preaching is the firearm that gets discharged from the quiet place of the soul. As the preacher has been in his study, as your pastor does, and he stokes the embers, and then he ascends the pulpit,
yes,
and the glory of God takes over,
yes,
and divine unction and power. That's what's going to bring revival and awakening to America.
Amen.
Our challenge with America today is that we're trying to solve spiritual problems with human solutions.
Yeah.
Let me give you the cliff notes how that one works out. It doesn't. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Are you getting this? The mind. It's the battlefield of the mind. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, make sure your mind is alert.
Amen.
Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Oh, rest your hope on Him. Aren't you glad that we don't have to rest our hope on our circumstances? Woo, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble, wouldn't we? My goodness, I know my house, we'd be in a whole heap of trouble. We don't rest our eyes on our circumstances. We fix our eyes on Jesus. That is revelation. His glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, in this section here, make a mental note of this. This is one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 26, verse 3. I love this. You guys know this one, don't you? You, God, will keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. That's it right there. Like, if you're wanting to know this morning, I'm in the jam, I'm in the situation, my life is crumbling before my eyes. It is unraveling before my eyes. There's the verse, Isaiah 26, 3. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, is missalot on you. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. That's why the question is not, will you face trials and tribulations? And we know the answer to that one, don't we? You know, will I face trials and tribulations? Are you breathing? No, it's the real question is, where do you turn for your comfort during your trials and tribulations? Let me ask you that today. Where do you turn? Like, where do you turn? Is it the approval of men? Well, we see it all the time in social media today with the neurological arousal that's going on. Man, people like me, they don't like me, they follow me, they don't. And man, we're up, we're down, dopamine drip in the brain. When we see it going on, where we're hungry, we're desperate for someone to like me and to be wanted. And you got a God in heaven.
Amen.
Who before the foundation of the world knitted you. He formed you. He loves you.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.